major prophets, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. Lamentations 3, 27 says this: it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Some of you might not know what a yoke is. You're from Cork or something, you might not have a clue. But it's the thing that went around the oxen's neck that was used to, two oxen together would plow a field, and the yoke was the wood that went around their neck. And the Bible says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And there would be, it's talking about trials, and work, basically. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Well, what is a yoke good for? If it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth, what is it good for? And we're going to be talking about Joseph this week, so taking from, you can turn your Bible now back to Genesis chapter, I reckon 37. Yeah, 37. That's where we're going to be, back in Genesis chapter 37. So we're talking about the story about Joseph. Some of you kids here don't even have a clue who Joseph is. I understand that. You don't go to church anywhere that teaches the Bible. That's all right. Joseph was the son of Jacob. He had like 11 other brothers. He was one of 12. And this week you're going to learn a lot about him. So you just stand by and you'll get to know him a little bit. But Jeremiah was a prophet, and he said it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. And whenever one of the prophets spoke, he was speaking God's word. So we take this as God's word to us. It is good for you to have work and make and even hard in your youth. And I'm going to explain a little bit of that as I go. But the yoke is good for training. See, you have to be prepared for the future. And the tougher it is in your life, the stronger you will be in life. It's a strange thing. People don't want to suffer. But when things are hard for you growing up, it trains you for the future. And usually, so long as you don't get bitter, because bitterness wrecks everything, but you get better. You can ask anybody who has trained hard. Preachers, men who've trained and gone on, who they are thankful. They put the time into preparing for the ministry because it all pays off. I'm glad I went through 4.5 years of Bible school. It helped me to be where I am today. Doctors, man, they put in a lot of hours, a lot of school to get where they are. And they're thankful that they put the time in when it comes time to do brain surgery. You know, they don't want to be going, uh-oh, or whoops. And one thing you don't want to hear on the operating table when a doctor says, oh, what was that? Musicians. When musicians spend practicing hours, 8 hours a day, things like that for their song to come, they're thankful when they get there because they're not all scared and worried about what they might make a mistake and stuff. Man, they're ready to do it. And practice pays off. And then there's athletes. My neighbor, he last year turned 40 years old and decided to run the marathon. 26.2 miles. I don't know if you know anything about that. That's a long ways. I can do 13. I can't do 26 yet. But that is a lot. It takes a lot of endurance to be able to go 26.2 miles. It's beyond my comprehension. But it would demand a lot of work, and somebody who puts the time in, the effort, to discipline themselves in that way, they're thankful in the end. It's hard along the way, but man, it pays off. I want to training comes in many fashions. School. I know nobody likes going to school, usually to start. Now when you start off at school, man, it's great fun. It gets a little tougher and you start doing algebra and all that stuff, man, it's like, good night. I don't even want to be here. And a lot of kids just, like, they can't hack it. Some of them quit. A lot of you kids, man, you're on the verge. I mean, it's, keep going. Because it will pay off in the end. You do your best, you'll enjoy the benefits later. Because it makes you more valuable to God and man. He can use you in more ways. The more trained you are, the tougher it is,
better. Now, Joseph, he must learn something about math. Because when it came time for famine, God revealed to him there was going to be a famine. He needed to save up grain for the time of the famine so that there would be grain. When it came, he divided up the land into fifths. I wonder in the world he learned what a fifth was. He had to learn some school. Look, Joseph now, he had to learn. He knew something. Got some wisdom from God. So, training comes in school. That's one of them. Chores is another thing. We're going to be talking about Joseph, man. That's what he did. He had to work with his brothers. They didn't like him too much because, like Pastor mentioned last night, he was one of his father's favorite sons, and he got this coat of many colors, and they didn't like him because he was a favorite, and I'm not dealing with Jacob right now. But Joseph had to work with his brothers, and he did learn how to be responsible. At 17, he could handle the sheep, and he was out there in the fields. It was hard work to find food for sheep over there. So, but he learned to be out there, and it wasn't maybe really difficult, laborious work being a shepherd, but his brothers were constantly criticizing him and picking on him, and trouble was coming his way. But God was preparing him for a future.
Amen.
And so, he learned how to work. Now, your boss may be very eccentric. They may be unusual. They may be hard-nosed. Whatever. It's weird. When God puts you in place, He's doing it to train you for a future. He wants you, He expects you to go forward, go on. And He wants to be able to use you. So, did you know you can learn something from anybody, from everybody? You can learn something. Even the worst people, the people you can't stand to sit out or be around, whatever, you can learn something from them. So don't be too quick to dismiss people that God brings into your life.
Right,
because if nothing else, you can learn how not to act toward others.
Amen.
And Lamentations 3:27, it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Because it provides training. Now, I want to go to Genesis chapter 37. I just want to read a couple verses. The Bible says, chapter 37 of Genesis, Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Pastor read that for us last night. But let's read down to verse 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. He made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now we know the dream. Pastor mentioned it last night. He had a dream that one day his family would bow down to him. And that just made his brothers all the more upset. When you get down to verse 10, he told the dream to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envy him. But his father observed the saying. And so you can believe that his brothers picked on him because he had this dream. That was just another thing to make him mad. Right. And so he, in the field with these guys, he suffered their criticism. They didn't like him. They put him out. And some of you just came here to camp. You got here to camp, and you didn't like where you were. You didn't like the people you were with. You didn't like things. And it gets, man, but you know, God is going to take some of the things this week.
Yeah.
Some of the people you meet, some of the people that rub you the wrong way, some of the people, or some of the places you are, things you don't like to do, man, God is going to use that in your life this week if you let Him. So, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth because it provides toughness. It makes you tough.
Amen.
Toughens you up for the days ahead.
Yes, sir.
And God wants you to be strong
so
He can use you.
Amen.
And if you keep giving up, how's He going to use that? But He wants you to be strengthened during the time. He wanted Joseph to deal with his brothers so that in the future, he was going to be dealing with a lot more people in his life. And that there's a girl, she grew up in the Bronx. Some of you don't know where that is. It's in America. New York's one of the, it's a tough place to live. Really, really tough place to live. There was a girl, and lived in the Bronx, and things were bad.
But she found this old piano. Her name was Alicia Gondola, or something like that. But she changed her name to Alicia Keys later on. She learned how to play that little beat-up piano so well. Somebody finally bought her a real one that worked with, and she learned how to play the piano. She spent hours practicing while the kids were goofing off, doing drugs, and having sex out in the Bronx. She sat down, learned how to play that piano, and became a well-known artist today. Her name is Alicia Keys. She changed her name to Keys, and she's great. There's another man that I thought of when bearing the yoke in his youth. His name is Ben Carson. Ben Carson, black fellow born in America, and he now is one of the heads of brain surgery, but he also grew up in a tough part of New York where he didn't have anything, man. And his buddies were all out doing dope and being immoral and getting involved in alcohol and getting all messed up. But his mama said, look, every day you need to read. Before you go out and play, you just need to read. And she gave him stuff to read, and she made him read. And so he had to sit in his house and read while his friends were out playing football. Well, Ben got excited about brain surgery. And out of the Bronx, out of the poor, nasty, run-down neighborhood, he became one of the chief brain surgeons of the United States of America. I got on the web, just looked him up. I heard his story some time ago, but he was instrumental in doing one of the first separations of Siamese twins, separated their brains so they could live independently from their selves. And you don't know, man, some of the hard things that you're going through chores and school, what God is going to do with you. All I'm saying is, don't give up. Man, God, it was hard for Joseph when, next thing you know, he's hauled off and becomes a slave. He didn't want to be a slave.
Right.
He certainly didn't want to be living in a pit. His brothers threw him in a pit. He did not want to be in that hole. There's no way he wanted to be living in a dry well. There's nothing down there to do. There's no Game Boy, no Xbox, no Digi, man. There's nothing. And it was tough. And I doubt very much if those kind of games are going to help you very much. Maybe some eye-hand coordination, but that's about it. I mean, there's not a whole lot there, but we spend an awful lot of time on ourselves.
Yes,
and I'm telling you, Joseph learned how to take criticism and to roll with the punches. When his brothers laughed at him, mocked at him, he had a good attitude. I don't know how he kept his attitude. So you might be getting some criticism from classmates, from your siblings, that would be your brothers and sisters, from your peers, your friends, even your parents. But learn to listen to criticism. When someone says something about you, listen to that. Because there's sometimes a kernel of truth in
this.
You can actually learn from criticism.
Yes.
Well, this was training for Joseph. He later became a jail warden. You know what? There's a lot of criticism in jail for the guy who's on the other side of the door. And he learned how to be a good warden because he could deal with criticism. It's funny. So don't minimize the things when people and situations are in your life and you don't like it. Be like Joseph, man. He took it. He got under it. He learned to roll with the punches. So preparation takes time. And it may be painful. Mentally or physically. But if you let God have His way, in the future, you'll be better for it. So life is tough when you're younger. Because? Well, you're going to have to be tougher when you get older. It's just one of those things.
Amen.
And so God just doesn't expect you to leap out of your nappy and become Superman. You know what I mean? It takes time growing up. So all these trials that come along are building you up just like growing up.
Amen.
All right. Well, because Joseph endured hardness, he could be relied upon even when he was alone.
Yeah.
I love that. You look at back at chapter 37 of Genesis. I want to read this. We stopped at verse 11, but verse 12 says, his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they're departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and he found them in Dothan. Now, I want to explain something to you. Shechem is from Hebron, where he was sent out, is 50 miles away from Hebron, where he was sent out, to Shechem, is roughly 50 miles away. That's a long way to walk. By yourself. But Dad sent him out there, and then when he got to Shechem, he couldn't find his brothers. That's where they were supposed to be. They'd gone off to Dothan, which was another 15 miles. We're talking a total of 65 miles. But Dad was confident that he could send him out there by himself to find his brothers and do it. And God wants to be able to do that with you. My son is back in America right now, and I can't be there with him, babysit him, and help him do the right things. He's got to do the right things while he's alone.
Amen.
And I tried to warn him before he goes, look, I'm not going to be there when you're watching television. I'm not going to be there when you're listening to music. I'm not going to be there when you're talking to girls. I'm not going to be there when you're reading books. And I need you to live in the fear of God so that when I leave you alone, you will do right.
Amen.
Just be in fear. And boys,